I was just going to read a verse from
2 Timothy chapter 3.
I'm going to read from verses 14 to 17. But just a few comments before I do. Does anyone here get the Weekend Australian? No one here get it? The Weekend Australian. It's for the intellectuals. I must be an intellectual. There's a very good article in it, the Weekend Australian, in the Weekend Australian Review, on the subject of the King James Version of the Bible. This is the 400th year of its translation, as most will know. It was first published, I guess, as a word in 1611. Well, this year, of course, is 2011, so it's the 400th year. So they had quite an extensive article on the subject of the King James Version, written by a man called Peter Craven, who is one of Australia's best-known literary critics and cultural commentator. He wrote a very interesting article about it. He wasn't, of course, commenting on its spiritual qualities, but certainly he was commenting on its literary qualities. And he argued that, along with Shakespeare, along with Shakespeare, would have had the most profound influence on the English language. And he spoke in a very praiseworthy way of its wonderful literary qualities. I usually use the New King James when I come here, but this morning I thought, well, I'm reading about the scripture, and in light of the fact it is the 400th anniversary of the King James Version, so this morning I will read to you from the King James Version this statement that Paul makes about the Holy Scriptures. You'll notice in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "But," and it's very important to notice that, what he starts off with is in contrast to what he's written before. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So I trust that the Lord will bless this to each of us this morning. I guess those of us would realize that Paul's second letter of Timothy, which is, of course, his last letter, written from prison in Rome, was a letter of encouragement written to Timothy, who we believe at this time was living in Ephesus and had a role of responsibility of leading the church, being a leader in the church at Ephesus. It was a letter of encouragement for him to stir up or rekindle his gift, the gift that he had from God. And bearing in mind that God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So that's basically, I think, why the letter was written. It was primarily a letter of encouragement to Timothy. Paul was shortly to leave this scene of service. The work would be carried on by Timothy. And as it were, he's handling on the torch of testimony to Timothy, and he gives him this word of encouragement. And we could say that underlying the letter is the great theme that underlies the letter, is that God had committed a divine revelation to Timothy that had come to him via Paul. So Paul received this revelation from the Lord, and he handed it on to Timothy, and he describes it as a sacred trust that Paul, in the Lord, had handed on to Timothy. And the things that he emphasizes in each of the chapters, we might say, chapter 1, 2, and 3 emphasize a different thing. In chapter 1, he encourages Timothy to hold fast the pattern of sound words. What he's really saying there is what he communicated to Timothy was an outline of sound teaching. And that's what the Bible gives us. It gives us an outline of sound teaching, which we have to fill in and which we utilize. So when we're communicating the Word of God to different kinds of audiences, whether it's children, people who do not know anything about the Bible, we all always have to use that outline. That becomes the framework. But how then we apply that, what we fill in that framework, will differ according to the audiences. But the thing is that he says, I want you to hold fast this pattern of sound words. And there's something very wonderful but that we have in the New Testament given to us, some very, very delightful summaries of the Christian faith. For example, you can think of that wonderful one in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul describes gives a very beautiful summary of the history of Christ when he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us this brilliant summation of the history of the Christ, how he humbled himself through to his death and then through to his exaltation. And it's a beautiful outline that helps us to understand things in a better way. And also in this epistle, there's a beautiful outline in chapter 1 from verses 9 to 10. He gives a beautiful outline of the Christian faith. And it's lovely to have that. And so what Paul says, hold fast to those outlines. And that's something very, very important for people to realize today, that throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, written by the apostles, we have these very, very wonderful and important outlines of the Christian faith. And they should be read and studied and understood by Christians. And in so doing, and in following them, we hold fast to this pattern of sound words that has been communicated to us. The second, in chapter 2, he's really focusing on the fact that this must be committed to others. What I've committed to you, I want you now to commit or to teach this to others.